Well, good evening. Why don't we just take a moment to, as we look at God's Word, tonight, as I was kind of preparing, I think I had about three different sermons on the go for tonight, and I just couldn't settle on anything. And I was kind of just telling Lisa in the car the other day, like, I just don't feel settled. And she said, well, why don't you just speak about the faithfulness of God? And that kind of just clicked with me, the faithfulness of God. And so what I want to do tonight is I want to reminisce a little bit, if that's okay with you, because this is a bit of a nostalgic moment for Lisa and I as we kind of look back on a season of our lives. And with your permission, I would like to reminisce, but I would like to reminisce about the lessons we've learned as to the faithfulness of God throughout the season here at Spa Church. So, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the power of our testimony. That, Lord God, as we tell the story of your story in our lives, that there's a power in that, there's a release in that. That, Holy Spirit, you use it to stir up our own hearts and our own lives. And so, God, I pray in Jesus' name that, Holy Spirit, you would have your way in us. That, God, we would not just sit and reminisce and think of memories of yesterday, but rather, Lord God, they would stir us up today to look to tomorrow with purpose and with passion. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, the faithfulness of God. So, the first thing I want to talk about is the faithfulness to fulfill your call. Did you know God is faithful to fulfill the call that he's placed on your life? When I think of this faithfulness, I think back to Jonah. Many of you would know the story of Jonah, but for those of you who maybe you don't, Jonah was a prophet in the Old Testament, and God came to him and said, Jonah, I want you to go and speak to the people of Nineveh. Now, for some context, Nineveh was a wicked city. Nineveh was anti-God. Nineveh was a wicked place. And so Jonah, as a prophet to Israel, says, you know what, God? Nah. I'm not going to go do that. And so Jonah runs from the call. He gets on a ship, and he sails off to a distant land far away from where Nineveh is. But in the midst of this sailing, a storm comes up. And long story short, the crew throws him in the ocean. A big fish swallows him up. He's in there for 3 days. And finally, he's wrestling with God on this call thing, to go to Nineveh and to preach repentance to the Ninevites. And after 3 days, God wins, because how many know God always wins?
Amen.
Right. Right? And so now he's spit up on the shores right by Nineveh, and he goes in and he steps into the call that God originally called him to. And when I thought of this, I don't know if many of you know our story, but when Pastor Wes called me up on a Friday night, yes, it was Friday night, because Saturday he came, right? Sure. I'm looking to Lisa. She's the keeper of the history of the Mitchells. I can't even tell you what I had for lunch yesterday. He called me up, and in that season of our lives, I was painting. I was a painter. I was here with a company, Seymour Painting, and I was painting the Willingdon Casino Tower there, the Delta Hotel Tower. I was doing swing stage painting at the time. And I had run from the call of God. Our last church, Kanawha Heights, we were there, and I said, you know what, I'm done with ministry. This is for the birds. I can't even handle this. I'm out. And so I ran from the call that God had placed on my life. And I uprooted our family. We went to Westlock, Alberta. Now, in Westlock, Alberta, a lot of circumstances, a lot of moving parts to that story, but long story short, it was a bit of hell on earth, if I can say it kind of just lightly. It was a horrible experience. It was, in fact, the worst probably 10-month experience of our lives. And what we found is here we are, we're in Westlock, and we're making more money than we've ever had. Lisa didn't have to work. I was bringing home a good paycheck. we had anything that we kind of want. We had bought a place, and we'd done all these different things. And yet in the midst of it, I was drowning. Absolutely drowning. I could not find fulfillment in any of it because I was outside of this call. And so, long story short, we decided within a week, we decided to move, and we moved. It was fast. We got out of Dodge so quickly, came back here, and then Wes calls me up. He finds out I'm back in town. He says, Lucas, you need to come here and put your resume in. And Wes has known my story. Wes walked through my story years ago when I came out talking about my depression, when I came out talking about my burnout and my addiction to pornography and all the moving parts that were hitting my life back in my first pastorate. And he walked through all of that with me. Him and a cluster of youth pastors. And the amazing thing is, and I stand here as a testament, the faithfulness of God to walk you into your calling. And my challenge, friends, is what is God calling you to? What is it? What was that dream that he gave you when you were that? And here's the thing, we have some young people here. You know what? Sometimes we look at younger generations and we go, oh, they just see the world through rose-colored glasses. Wait until reality hits. You know what, young person? Wait till reality hits. That'll fix your idealism. You know what? I think sometimes idealism is faith. Amen. Faith to see the way that it should be. And I think when we were young, God gave us moments of clarity when we looked at the world and we said, that needs to change. That needs to be different. I need to do something about it. And as we get older, we say we've taken off the rose-colored glasses. We say we've put down the idealism of our youth. But I think we're missing that original calling and that passion and that holy discontent that God placed on your heart when you were young. What is that? What is that call, that purpose, that plan that God spoke to you, that dream that he gave you, and maybe it's been sitting on the shelf? I want to tell you, God is faithful to walk you into those callings. God is faithful to walk you into those callings. You just have to obey. You just have to walk with him. And then the second thing, and this is the second piece, is God is faithful to equip you. I was reading out of 2 Kings 4, verses 1 to 7. If you have it, you can look it up. 2 Kings 4, 1 to 7. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord, but now his creditors come to take my two boys as his slaves." Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a small jar of olive oil." Elisha said, "Go around and ask all of your neighbors for the empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you, and you and your sons pour oil into all the jars. As each is filled, put it to one side." She left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There is not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay for your debts. You and your sons can live on what's left." I really, truly believe there's a principle at work here. And as we're faithful to step out and as we're faithful to hear the call, respond to the call, be obedient to the call, there's an equipping that happens. There's a grace that God gives you. It's a grace that you would not otherwise experience. This is the kind of grace that comes upon you, this gift, this strength, this wisdom, whatever it takes, all the tools in your tool belt. They come when you take, after you take that step of faith and obedience to the call of God on your life. It takes some doing on your part. It takes going out and getting those jars. It takes going out and getting the tools and the skills maybe that you need to walk into that call. But ultimately, the grace of God, He comes and He gives you everything you need after you take that step. So God is faithful to walk you into the calling He's placed on your life. But He's also faithful to equip you. Mark Batterson, in his book All In, he says it this way. When he talks to his church, their philosophy is not ready, set, go. That's not their philosophy. They flip that thing upside down and they say go, set, ready. Go, set, ready. Because what happens? God places this dream, this call, this purpose upon your life, and you take that step of faith. Now you could if you want. And I'm not against, I went to Bible college. You could go, I'm just going to go get training first. I'm going to get all the skills that I need. I'm going to build up my resume. And then, in the safety of all of that, now I'm going to step out in that call that God has placed me in. But the problem was that is in this moment, and in this time, and we all know this, we all were in high school once, and how many of you say, man, if I went back to high school, I would crush it? If I could just go back to high school, knowing what I know about life, knowing what I know about my job and my career, I would go back and I would kind of take a whole different lens on high school. Anybody there? Or college or university? You'd be like, I would go back, I would crush it. Because I know how desperately I need some of those skills. It's the same in God's kingdom. Nothing changes. We step out into that call, and in that call, and in that desperate place, in that place of, unless God, you show up, I'm going to fall on my face in front of everybody. We are desperate to get the skills. We are desperate to get the teaching from the Holy Spirit. We are desperate for that revelation. And we're at a place that we would never otherwise have been unless we took that step of faith. God is faithful. I remember when we went to... The first year we went to Gitignau, we have a few, who went to Gitignau? Carolyn, yeah, Penny, were you there that first year? No, that was the second year. The Ward Halls were there as well, and I remember going to Gitignau, and this is my first missions trip with SPA Youth, and we had about 30-something of us. There's a big team, like a lot of youth, a lot of leaders. We had the Warhol family came and assisted us. And so we were there, and we arrive into the town, and the first thing we find out is that 2 weeks before our arrival, a young 12-year-old boy had died in a windstorm. A tree had fallen on him, hurt his sister, but killed him. And so they had just finished having a funeral for this boy. And then we find out right after that, that a 3-month-old little girl had died in the village that day of heat exhaustion. And I remember standing there, we were at, I believe, your sister's restaurant there. And I remember she's the one that told us about the first one. And I remember standing there, I'm going, okay, God, we've been faithful to the call. We really felt like this is the trip to take. This is the place to come. But here we are, a bunch of teenagers with frisbees and footballs in a community that's broken and grieving. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Now, throughout that time, we had story after story of how God used a bunch of teenagers with frisbees and footballs to walk through some healing moments. I want to highlight just a few. On the Wednesday, we arrived on the Monday, and on the Wednesday, they were having the funeral for this little one, and the chief of the village, they invited myself and Brian Wardhall. He joined me, and we went to this funeral. Meanwhile, I want to talk to you about the power of fruit salad. Meanwhile, this in that culture, they come alongside, and the family that is having this puts on a feast, puts on food. But this family didn't have. But we had lots of food because Trish Warthall was doing our food for the whole week. So we had lots of great food. So we went to the funeral. Trish and a bunch of others, they started cooking and chopping up a whole bunch of fruit, making a big fruit salad and food, set up tables. And so we went to this funeral, and we had the opportunity to pray over the family that's grieving. And then we invited them back to eat. Well, the next day, I woke up in my pajamas. We all were all sleeping in the floor of the church, and I woke up and realized I had Sharpie written all over me. The youth had, during the night, it's over my face. It's on. I'm all like tattooed up with Sharpie, permanent marker. And Wally, at that time, Wally Lamb, he came in. He's like, Lucas, there's someone outside that wants to talk to you. So I go out there. My hair's like, I got Sharpie over my face, and I'm in pajamas, I'm barefoot, like it's just, I'm a mess. And I remember going out on this deck of the church, and this man's there, and he introduces himself, and he says, I'm the uncle of the girl that, the three-month-old that passed away last Monday, and this is the day after the funeral. And he just begins to pour out his heart. And like only God can do, like only the Spirit of God can do, when he equips you. Here I am, this like weird-looking, sharpied-up, just weirdo, and yet God gives me the opportunity to lead this broken man to Jesus. Here's the deal, guys. You respond to the call of God, and he will be faithful to equip you. No matter what the circumstance, no matter what it looks like, amen, he will equip you. He will give you everything that you need to change the world around you. And the problem is, oftentimes, it's our own insecurities that hold us back to taking that step of faithfulness to God. Because we just say, God, we just have a little bit of oil. We just have frisbees and footballs. What are we going to do? But you give that little bit of oil. You give what that little that you feel you have. You step outside of your insecurities because God created you. Amen. For a plan and a purpose. Right, and you take that step of faith, he'll equip you. Amen. So he's faithful to walk us into our calling. He's faithful to equip us for our calling. And he's faithful to surround you. Exodus 17, 11 to 13. This is one of my favorite verses when it comes to what community looks like. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. See, in this moment, Israel is fighting a battle. And Moses is standing on the hilltop overlooking the battlefield, and he's holding his rod above his hands, above his head. And as long as he had it up, Israel was winning. But the moment he tired, the moment that he let it down, Israel began losing, and the enemy was taking ground. And so here's Moses. You got to think an entire day. You got to think this battle is going on for hours and hours and hours. And I don't know about, I was thinking about actually having someone come up here and hold some books on their hand for this whole segment of my sermon to see how long they could go. But I'll spare you. Whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Now, we've been saying from this platform, we've been using the saying, we've been saying, you were made for community. And that's more than just kind of a nice saying. That's more than just sort of a sentiment. When we say that, we literally mean you were made for community because you were made in the image of God. And God is what? God is in Trinity. God is Father, Son, Holy Spirit in perfect, united community and relationship. And so if God made you in His image, you were made for community. You were made for relationship. None of us were called to walk this alone. Moses was never meant to lead alone. And we see God shaping the core of the community around him in this moment, giving him strength and holding up his hands. Lisa and I, over these years here, I think back and we have had the opportunity to work on the best, like by far, bar none, the best leadership team there is. Now, I might have to take that back in a few weeks when I'm elsewhere. But but our staff, we did a lot of laughing together. We did a lot of living together. We did a lot of friendship together. I remember one staff meeting in particular. It was just a few years ago where things got kind of real. I'm pretty sure every one of us sat in that meeting and we just cried together. And I'll never forget it because this is the moment where there was a safety in community to be vulnerable about our hurts and our wounds and our weaknesses. And I'll remember that meeting for a long time because in that meeting we were able to cry together. But more than that, we are able to lift up each other's hands because we were not meant to do this alone, because we were made for community, because you are made for community. I said it during our verbal resignation that one of the questions Lisa asked, she asked the board when we were interviewing here, will our kids be accepted and loved? And at the time, the board said, absolutely. Absolutely, they'll be accepted and they'll be loved because that was one of our concerns. And that wasn't just lip service. Our kids have been accepted and loved, and our kids have had the opportunity to be discipled by a village of people. Their hands have been lifted up as a result of being part of this community. I still remember, we've been so blessed. We've had so many youth and young adults just call us up and go, hey, it's time for us to watch your kids so you guys can go out. I mean, so many. I remember the first time they did it, they called us up. This is very early. They said, we want to watch your kids and you need to go out. And Ethan was just a baby. I mean, they counted the cost because we're talking dirty diapers still. We're talking all of that. But they only had to change one dirty diaper the whole time they did this. Yeah. But they came in and they got kind of the kids and we took some time with them. And then we went out and we went up to our car and on our car was this, no, on our hood, all over our hood, was all this money. And they took up this collection, and we stood outside the car with, like, tears in our eyes, feeling the love, not just for us, but for our kids. And over the years, we've had a community of people around us, and some of you guys are here, and you know who you are, that loved on our kids in such a way that you lifted up their hands. And you loved us up. Oh, man. And you loved on us in such a way that we were able to get away and strengthen our marriage and strengthen our relationship, and you invested in us. And that was just absolutely. Sorry, guys. We got a weep fest going on over here. Oh, that was invaluable. But it's affecting me so much right now because we were made for community. You were made for community. You were not meant to do this alone. And so my challenge is to you, who have you invited into your journey? Who have you invited to do community with? You know, we love to push lift communities. We love to push our small groups here. It's not because we want to just grow small groups for the sake of growing small groups, because we truly believe that you are made for community. You need people investing in your life. You need to be investing in others' lives. You need to be poured into and you need to be poured out. God is faithful to surround you, yes, with his presence, yes, with his faithfulness, yes, with his grace, but he has been faithful to surround you with community. And it's your decision whether or not you allow people into your journey, because it's going to take being vulnerable, it's going to take risking something to invite people into your journey. You are made for community. And finally, God is faithful to see all of this to completion. Philippians 1:3-6, Paul says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Paul is writing this in his greeting to the Philippian church, and he's confident that God is going to see these guys, this group of people, this community of believers in Philippi. He believes that they're going to bring them to completion. You have a mission before you, Spa Church. You have a mission before you. Excuse me. But you need to know from the outset, you need to believe from this moment on that God is faithful to see that mission to completion. No matter what obstacles you see before you, no matter what giants are standing on the hill mocking you, God is going to see the mission of Spa Church placed in this community for a time such as this to change the world. Amen. He's going to see that to completion. You need to believe it tonight. You need to believe it now. I come from the prairies, and each season has its purpose. Here's nice. I like here because I hate the snow. I really hate the snow, so I love living here. But in the prairies, you have four distinct seasons, and every single season has its purpose. And just like every season has its purpose, every season in life has its purpose. It has its time, it has its cycle, it has its run. And in those moments and in those seasons, we need to be learning and growing and being refined for the next season to come. Seasons build upon one another. And we're so grateful for our season at Spa Church, which afforded us like crazy opportunities. But I really believe this, church. I really, truly believe. We've been sensing this, that God is kind of just flipping the season for Spa Church. I don't know if you sense this. As you're praying and looking and worshiping and gathering together, I don't know if you're sensing this, but God has kind of flipped the season for Spa Church. And Spa Church, you are entering into a new season. And yes, there's going to be some new people that are going to come along for this season that were especially called for this time, a time such as this. And things maybe even look a little bit different. But there's been a flip, and there's a season that you are entering that I am excited for. I am excited to see what God is going to use this church in this community to do. And here's what I know about this season. I'm not a prophet. I'm not going to pretend to be a prophet. But here's what I know about this season. Because I like to read the Bible, and this is what I know about the work of God. This season is going to make it less about you and more about others. Because when God matures us, when God raises us up, when God does things in us to stir us up, to come together, to be focused on vision and focused on mission, it's not about you. It's not going to be about you. But God is calling Spa Church to go set ready. We have spent too long trying to get ready. It's time to go. It's time to go. It's time to step out in faith, see that dream that's bigger than ourselves, and if God doesn't show up, we're going to fall flat on our faces as a community of believers. But it's time to go. And as you go, He will equip. As you go, He will give you the tools. He will give you the people. I mean, we complain about we don't have enough volunteers for this and that. You know what? Let's go. And they'll come because God's going to what? He's going to equip His church. And the gates of hell are not going to stand against it. So let's go. And it's not going to be about us. It's not going to be about our comforts and the way we like it. This new season is going to be about others. It's going to be about our neighbors. It's going to be about our loved ones far from God. Amen. And friends, if you are faithful, if you are faithful to go, God's going to equip. He's going to surround you with community. He's going to surround you with everything that you need. And He's going to see it to completion. He's going to see it to completion. I'm going to ask Wes if you just come, and we're just going to play. Just take a moment. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask everyone just to bow your head. Just ignore your neighbors for a moment. This is just between you and God, you and the Spirit. And here's what I'm going to challenge you to do. It might be a little weird. For some of you, maybe this doesn't apply. I don't know. But I want you just to reminisce with me tonight. I want you to just think back. Think back to those moments, maybe when you were young. We all set up these memorials in our memories of these moments with God when God kind of just planted something in you. And I don't care if you're 200 years old or 5 years old right now. I want you to think back to that dream, that vision, that still small voice that spoke destiny over you. And maybe you just said, that's just idealism, that was just me being young and dumb. You know what? The call of God oftentimes sounds dumb. Can I just say that? The call of God sometimes just sounds idiotic. You're like, God, you want me to do what? But what was that dream? What was that thing He planted in your heart? What was that assignment that He gave you? Holy Spirit, even now, Holy Spirit, bring it to our memory. Remind us afresh and anew of that call and that destiny and that purpose and that assignment that You place in our hearts and in our lives. In Jesus' name. Just take a moment. We're not in a hurry. We all had too many cupcakes this morning anyway, so we can wait a little bit. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Pastor Wes, he's just going to lead us in a song. And during this song, I want you just be reminiscent. Just be reminded of that call. Be reminded of that passion. Be reminded of that idealism, that holy discontent, that thing that you just said, I need to step up and step into that. And if you feel the Holy Spirit just leading you, I'm going to challenge you just as a step of faith. Just as a step of faith tonight. And as a symbolic act, to stand up and as a symbolic act, just come to this altar. And make that your going. Make that your first step of going. So, Lord God, we don't put on a show for anybody else. Lord, we're not even looking at anybody else right now. We're looking at our hearts. We're looking at our lives. Lord God, we are looking to you, the faithful God who is faithful to walk us in our call, who is faithful to equip us when we go, who is faithful to surround us with the community and relationships we need, and who is faithful to see it to completion. We look to you and you alone tonight. And Lord, I pray for every dream, every plan, every assignment and purpose that you have implanted in the hearts and the lives of each of these here tonight. I pray, Lord God, as they take steps of faith, as they step up and they go, that you would be faithful in their circumstance and in their story. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't we stand together? Why don't we stand together? And as Pastor Wes leads us in the last song of worship, just as a symbolic step of faith,